Welcome, beautiful soul sisters. I am so happy that you are here. This is a space where we explore what it means to be wild women walking upon this earth, unearthing that which is often unseen and unspoken. Together, we practice using our voices and the ancient ritual of storytelling, connecting about all that unites us as we share our stories of birth, life, and death. Today is March 8th, 2024. I'm currently in Deer Park, Washington, happily on the back porch, allowing some sun to touch my skin, as there is still some snow on the ground, but it is melting, melting, melting. So this episode is going to be a little update, a little life update, and then I'm going to tell the birth story of my son, Odin Bear. He just turned 7 this last December, and yeah, I've been wanting to share his birth story here. I did share the short version of all my birth stories in one podcast episode, as I was practicing to be on the Free Birth Society podcast to condense all my stories into 1 hour. But today I'm just gonna tell his story by itself. So that's what the content of this episode is gonna be. But first, I'm just gonna give a little life update that yes, I am in Washington. So happy to be here. My husband and kids and I made our way up here back to our homeland from Mississippi this last month, and we're working on a more permanent move up here, but right now it's temporary, and partly because I am, well, the main reason for this trip is to be there at a birth this month. You know, the birthing window is wide, but likely the birth will be later this March. So yeah, yes, here in Washington, and I have been so happy to be here and gathering with friends and family. I got to attend a full moon gathering with some of the women that I circled with before here. When I led a full moon circles before I left, I passed it along to the other women in my community. Yeah, it's just felt so good to be here, and I love, especially being in this space where there's expansiveness and land, spaciousness. I completed teaching, facilitating a round of mother circle. It was my first time teaching the material in its entirety. So it was definitely, yeah, a learning curve and a little rough, but also so beautiful. There were about 19 women that signed up, and about 12 would show up each week. And it was just, yeah, glorious and amazing and really fun connections and shares and learning and just community building. And I'm really excited for when I offer Mother Circle again. There is a link now on my Mother Circle page on my website if you want to sign up to know when I'm going to be offering it again, if you would potentially like to join. I'm not exactly sure when that's going to be yet, but yeah, would love to have you. It's a beautiful container. It's an 8-week container. Although on the feedback form, some people said that, because I said, you know, well, do you like it being once a week for 8 weeks, or would it be better short, you know, like twice a week for 4 weeks? And some people would prefer that. So I might try doing it that way at some point, but yeah, would love to have you. So here we are. It's March. Can't believe it. So today, the story of the birth of my little sunshine, Odin Bear. A little backstory would be that this is my third pregnancy, my one with my son, Odin. If you would like to hear about my first two pregnancies, I do tell Hartley's birth story in its entirety. Of course, remember that every time we share our stories, they change. It depends on who we're telling them to. If I'm just speaking to a screen like this, it often flows different than if I were speaking with someone directly or multiple someones. And the details that I remember each time are potentially different. And as our state changes, nervous system wise, our story also changes. Story follows state. So some things that I might have shared years ago, I probably will tell it differently today. So just remembering that you might hear me tell it now, and maybe you'll hear me tell it somewhere else, and you'll be like, but she didn't say that before. And that's just part of story sharing, that our stories shift and change just like we do. So my first two pregnancies ended in death, my first at 6 weeks, and then my second little one, Hartley, she did not have kidneys. And so although I birthed her and she was alive for a few moments, expectedly she did die. But Odin is my next birth story. And I just tell you that about my first two births because the context, it's just a different experience for those of you that maybe have experienced pregnancy or mothering after death or after loss of babies. It changes you. Each birth experience has changed me. I'll reflect to speak from I statements. So for me, each pregnancy, built on one another. And once you have a pregnancy, it doesn't go away, even if that pregnancy ends in a way that you weren't expecting. So after experiencing Hartley and her birth and death and grief, actually, my husband and I were very open to conceiving fairly soon after that happened, but we did not conceive for several cycles. And that was hard for me at the time, although at this time, feel like it was, probably a good thing, giving my body and my spirit some time to heal more before growing the next little being. So we were trying, and after several months of not conceiving, of not having this new life inside of me, I started, doubting myself more and trying not to get my hopes up as much. I actually had a trip planned to go see my sister, who had just birthed my little nephew a few weeks prior. So I went to see her, and that was beautiful and wonderful to see her and her two littles. And I knew that I possibly was pregnant, but I was expecting that I likely wasn't at that moment, or wasn't wanting to get my hopes up, although I knew I could be. At that time, I was often wearing this beautiful necklace that my friend Jessie Jema had crafted for me with a malachite stone on it. It was like a piece of round wood with then like a wire wrapped piece of malachite, and malachite is Hartley's middle name. So I tell you that because I was wearing it when we took a trip to the ocean, and, I feel like I've had swum with it before, had never lost it, but I went into the ocean, went swimming, put my head under, and a little bit later reached down for my necklace and realized it wasn't there. Of course, I looked around a bit, but in the ocean, it's so big and moving. I never found that necklace, and it sort of felt, I had this moment of grief about it, losing this necklace to the ocean. And yet at the same time, it felt so fitting that that is where I would lose it, into the ocean that covers the whole world. We all share the ocean, and we had also sprinkled some of Hartley's ashes in the ocean. So I felt like if I were to lose it, that felt like an okay place to lose it. And when I returned from that trip, a few days later, I think it was a few days later, it's, almost 7 years ago now. So the details are over 7 years ago now. I took a pregnancy test and saw that I was pregnant. Of course, having my first two experiences, I was, so excited, but also knew the reality that it didn't mean that that little one was going to, grow into a full baby and be born and live outside of me. But I was hopeful and excited. I remember I did something sort of silly to share with my husband that I was pregnant. I made these little signs on our two to put on our two dogs saying like big brother or something on both of them. And he didn't get it at first when he came home, and then he did, and then he was excited as well. And in Odin's pregnancy, I didn't obviously know he was a boy at that time, and we actually didn't find out until he was born. But his pregnancy went pretty well. I was, working as a registered nurse at the time in palliative care. I was grateful that in that pregnancy, I only threw up once. I was somewhat nauseous, but nothing like in Hartley's pregnancy where I was nauseous and puking every single day, multiple times a day. So that was really easeful and lovely. I felt strong. I was walking and moving and really connecting with this little baby growing inside of me. We were, somewhat worried or concerned about the potential of this baby also not having kidneys. Called bilateral renal agenesis. But after we had had Hartley, both my husband and I did check to know whether or not both of us had both of our kidneys, because it's something that you can go through your life with only one kidney and not know unless you've actually specifically checked. And since we had, the odds were just like with Hartley, that it would be super rare. Hartley's condition was super rare, considering Owen and myself having our kidneys and not having history in our family, medical history of renal issues. So we knew that probably it would be the case again. And in this pregnancy, because of that, I did choose to have an ultrasound to know whether or not he had kidneys. Of course, this didn't, I also held the knowing, the like really deep knowing that that didn't mean that he would be born alive or that this baby would be born alive. I had been really connected with other mothers who had had infant loss before, whose babies died either in their womb or shortly after birth. It's one of those, some people call it like a secret club that you just don't know until you know. And obviously, not everyone, knows, because not everyone has that experience. But it felt really supportive and helpful to connect with with these other mothers. There's a plane going by, so you might hear that on the mic. But it was really, I felt really grateful to be connected with these other mothers who were having some similar anxieties and fears. I actually got to go to, there's a woman named Amelia. She wrote a book called Landon's Legacy. I think the name of the book is called something Landon's Legacy, and that's something about the impact of his short life. I don't remember. She has a small business called Pranavita Style with clothing and leggings, these amazing pants that I love. Anyhow, she was doing, I had gotten connected with her, and I went to Landon's Legacy Retreat, which was for mothers to gather, mothers who were mothering babies that or children that were no longer earthside. Some women that were there, their children died when they were 8 or 3, other ages. Most of the women there had either had babies that died in the womb or shortly after birth. But that was a really beautiful experience to have while I was carrying this little wombling, like I like to call them when they're inside. Getting to connect with them, create ceremony with them, talk about our experiences. Some women there were pregnant as well. Some women were not. Some women didn't know if they wanted to attempt to have another baby after losing a baby, or I don't like the term losing a baby, after their babies had died. And I fully understand and respect that. Yeah, so that was a lovely time and thing to do while I was pregnant. My 40 weeks was December 29th. So I, grew bigger as we got closer. And oh yeah, so we did have the ultrasound. We did find out he had his kidneys. So that felt good. But again, knowing that that was no guarantee. There are no guarantees in life other than that you will die at some point. But we don't know when. I continued to see a midwife and choose home birth, which amongst the women in the community of pregnancy after loss or death, like most of those, I actually am not sure if there were any other women I knew at the time that were choosing home birth. Most of the women that I came into contact with after having a baby die went sort of deeper into the medical system, where I continued to pull back from the medical system. And, some of those women chose to have scheduled C-sections and, things like that. I continued to want to have a home birth or to choose home birth. And I remember, yeah, some of the women being surprised that I was choosing that and not understanding my choice. Yet I knew it was the choice for me. It's my life, my choice, my baby. I just knew I always wanted to continue to birth at home. I birthed Hartley at home, and I would also birth this baby at home. There was a time, it was later in pregnancy. I feel like I don't remember exactly. Between like 35 and 40 weeks, I ended up changing midwives. The midwife that I started care with, she was just going through some things in her personal life, and we weren't aligning in the same way that we had with my first birth. And so I did choose to change midwives later in pregnancy. And that felt like a good choice for me at the time. I am still friends with that first midwife and, love her and all the things. And we continued to stay friends through that process. But it was just, yeah, we were out of alignment in that moment. So I had midwifery care. I had a beautiful, my community came together to offer me a blessing way, which is like a pre-birth ceremony with the women of your community to honor that pregnancy and the rite of passage that it is each time that we are pregnant and birth. They did a beautiful belly cast for me. Yeah, it was just a really lovely gathering where we sang songs and ate food, and I felt very held by the women around me. And as we got closer, I got closer to the birthing window. I definitely started to get antsy. My first baby was born right before 37 weeks, which is common for babies when they had this different body. And so when like winter solstice came, I got all excited. I was like, how neat would it be to have a winter solstice baby? Was like trying to like wanted this baby to be born. Winter solstice came and went. And then Christmas came along, and actually my brother's birthday is the day after Christmas, and he's never loved that. So I really was hoping that this little baby would not be born on Christmas, but I knew it was possible. Of course, it's their birthday. They start the labor, not me. But Christmas came and went, and then I had my like 40-week connection with the midwife on December 29th. And there were no signs of labor beginning or anything like that to my recollection. I did have lots and lots of tightenings from early on in this little one's pregnancy. Actually, it was like in the, I think near like 10 weeks and on, I would have these tightenings. And at first I was worried that they were gonna result in an early birth and death of that baby, but they didn't. And my uterus was just practicing, and my womb was contracting and squeezing and strengthening. And I just remembered, yeah, my husband and I had a little baby moon in Hawaii. I can't believe I forgot that. I made myself a few little bullet point notes, but I'm mostly riffing right now. So excuse the ums that might come in there. Yeah, so that was great to be able to go to Hawaii with my husband and enjoy one another. I was loving the Mexican food there and the seafood. Yeah, all delicious. But that was earlier on. So back to December, back to Christmas, 29th. Nothing was happening, but I went home and had a like cozy evening with my husband, had a little bit of chocolate, we cuddled, and then he went to sleep upstairs and I wound up staying awake. I wasn't feeling like going to bed quite yet. I was done with my working. I was on maternity leave at that point. And somehow decided I don't watch TV every day, but I did decide to turn on the tube, and I actually found a show about psychedelics. I think it was specifically about mushrooms. Anyway, I started watching that, then I fell asleep. And then early, I think it was like 2 or something in the morning. I couldn't find my notes for the exact times, but early in the morning, I woke up to some sensations and I was asleep on the couch. And I thought, oh, okay, they might come and go. So I decided to go upstairs and crawl into bed and see if I could, fall back to sleep. But they kept coming and coming. And so I wasn't comfortable staying in bed. I wasn't able to fall asleep between the contractions. So then I got up out of bed and started laboring in my home. I had had a vision of baking bread to gift to the midwives. So I started preparing the bread dough and had it rising by the fire. It was just really sort of slow and sweet at that time. The sensations, I was easily able to move through them. I, had some music, was moving around, so cozy by the fireplace. And we had our Christmas tree with those gentle white lights, and there was snow on the ground outside. So I just continued to labor and enjoy the time and welcome that little being. Said I was so excited to meet them on the outside. And then it was near 5 a.m. or near 6 a.m. I decided to just send my husband a text because, sometimes, like a lot of people, he would wake up and, immediately kind of mess around on his phone for a bit. And I, once he was, I didn't want to wake him up because, you know, my first labor happened across 3 days. I wanted him to be well rested. I didn't know how long this labor would be. So I decided to just send him a little text and just tell him that I was in labor and to, you know, like come out and support me when you're awake. And of course, I knew if things changed and it wasn't feeling all easeful that I could go wake him up if I wanted to. What I didn't know was that his ringer was on. And of course, he like heard the chime and like grabbed his phone because he was worried he was waking me up. Little did he know, he noticed, oh, she's not here and it's from her. And he saw that I sent this message and he just like, there was no going back to sleep. He was awake. He was excited. He ran out and was, you know, like, what can I do? And was just like, you know, nothing. It's just, you know, it's just starting. And, but I think this is it because it's continuing. And so I said, you know, do you want to like take a shower or whatever? And I'll make you some eggs on toast. So that's what I did. I sent him into the shower and started, you know, frying up a couple of eggs for him. So I did that. But then when he was in the shower, the contractions, the sensations shifted. They, I don't, I'm, the only thing I can attribute it to is maybe my husband's presence and this little, my little nugget inside my little wombling, deciding to kick it up a notch. But things shifted. The sensations were a lot harder for me to manage at that time. I wasn't finding my flow like I had been. It felt like they went from, you know, a 2 to an 11 or something like that. Maybe not an 11, a 2 to an 8, like a big jump. And so then I was like, oh, so he got out of the shower and I was like, can you please start setting up the like birth tub, the birthing pool? We had a big birthing pool out in the living room already sort of ready. So, and I'm going to get in the shower and see if like the warm water will help ease some of these sensations that I'm having and the discomfort. So I get in the shower. Doesn't change anything. If anything, it just felt like it was like getting harder, harder, faster. So this was a little, like I said, a little before 6 when I woke him up. And so then I ended up like, I'm like, screw this. I'm just gonna like fill up our, you know, regular size bathtub. So I just started filling up with the bathtub, seeing if that would help. Things just got more and more intense. And I very quickly, somewhere in there, we called the midwife. And if, because I had been a birth attendant as a birth assistant for a number of years at that point, I was feeling self-con, like I didn't want the whole like the midwife and the birth assistant to come and be there for a long time. I didn't think I was so close to his emergence. So in that first conversation, I, you know, told her, no, I don't want her to come yet. And then a few contractions later, I'm in the tub and my water breaks in the tub. My husband was like, ah, there's blood, but it was, you know, it was from the water breaking and a little blood is normal. And I was like, it's okay, it's normal. Yes, can you actually have the midwife please come? And so he called her back and she was like, oh yeah, I was already kind of getting ready. So Owen at that point was still trying to, you know, during contractions, he was with me and then he was running to try and like fill the birthing pool. And I think it was maybe even before that, before the water breaking, that I was like, no, fuck it. Like, do not run back to the like birthing pool. Because I had this little list of things I wanted him to do, you know, vacuum and do the, you know, clean the toilet again. It's a great idea because if, you know, if you end up puking in the toilet or maybe you even birth your baby into the toilet or the placenta. So I'd had this little list of things that I wanted him to do. Yeah, clean up and do the birth pool. But I was at that point where I didn't want him to leave me. I wanted him to stay with me. So he did. He stayed with me. I was just sort of on my side in the tub and holding on to him. You know, he was outside of the tub, but, you know, kind of arms around me. And my body started bearing down that fetal ejection reflex. My body was pushing, my womb was pushing this baby out. And of course, well, at this point I didn't have an awareness of free birth. And I'm not sure if I would have chosen it at that time. But anyway, I did choose it later. But in that moment, I had envisioned, you know, having another woman, a wise woman there at my birth. So I actually didn't want to push him out until my midwife arrived. So then she did arrive as my body was, yeah, doing the pushing. I was starting to open. I didn't feel myself for baby's head at that point. But I know that his head was right there. When Jane arrived and, you know, she walked in, set her things down and, you know, immediately kind of, you know, came to me to check in on me and looked and could see his head starting to emerge from me. So it definitely, as soon as then she was there, I felt this relief. She's here. Now is when I started really pushing with the contractions in a way that I wasn't before she was there. So I did, I began pushing with the contractions, and it was really, I think, 3 contractions from what I recall, and 3 pushes, and out he came. I actually don't think, yeah, I'm pretty sure he came out more like in one push. It wasn't like the head and then the restitution and the body, the way that it often is with babies and the way that it was with my daughter after my daughter's birth after this. But yeah, I birthed him and I had wanted to catch him. But in the moment, Jane asked if I wanted to, and I said no, like I couldn't, like I was holding on to my husband and I just couldn't do it. And, you know, in hindsight, I maybe would have asked her just to not catch him and that, you know, after he came out, then I could catch him myself. But I didn't think to do that in the moment. And yeah, so she caught him as he emerged and, you know, immediately handed him to me. And I brought him as close to my head as I could. His cord was, you know, shorter. I couldn't bring him all the way up to my breast. So he was down, you know, near my navel and crying. That was one of the things that I had said to this baby, ask this baby to please breathe and cry right away. I have, you know, had attended many, many births at that point. And so I knew that the variation of those first breaths is very wide, and it can be normal on either end of the spectrum to cry right away. Even the first birth that I witnessed, the baby was crying before he was fully emerged from his mother. But I had requested that this baby cry right away, and he certainly did that. He cried and cried. I was grateful I didn't have to wait for those first breaths. Yeah. And it was 7:46 a.m. So just like 2 hours or less from when my husband had woken up. So for him, he was like so surprised. And he immediately, as soon as our son started crying, he ran around and was like, he was so excited and happy and grateful like me that our baby was alive. So yes, did I say it was 7 minutes after Jane arrived that he emerged? We only know that because we'd set up a video, or my husband set up the video camera, but you can't actually see any of the birth in it because his back is there, but that's okay. And then a little while later, I birthed his beautiful placenta. I don't think I knew about, you know, other ways at this point of what is possible with the placenta and the cord and different choices. I did know that I didn't want my husband cutting the cord. I'm like, I built this cord with my body between me and my baby. So I very intentionally cut his cord myself, and he was totally fine. It didn't bother him. I remember then for the first time as I got out of the tub to like dry off and climb into bed, I handed him to Owen, and that felt so, strange. This little being that had grown inside of me to then hand him and be separated, even just that small distance, even though he stayed close to me, felt so strange. But I did. I handed him our little baby, our son. We saw that he was a boy. We were very excited. I was also surprised. I felt like I was in shock, honestly. Okay, I want to tell a little deeper layer of this is that because it happened so quickly, I felt somewhat disassociated from my body. I think birthing, this can be common in birthing, but my other two full-term birth experiences, I was definitely more present in a soul and body level than I was in his birth. I came back to myself after, but there was like a short time where I felt like I was just sort of in shock and so surprised that he had come so quickly. Yet I was, elated and grateful at the same time. So we got all cozy in bed and he nursed really well from the beginning, just nursed and nursed and nursed. He actually loved staying attached. We, shared a bed together and he wanted to sleep with my nipple in his mouth all the time. I would get like 40-minute maybe windows where I could pop my nipple out and sleep, and then he would wake up and immediately want to be nursing again. But we were, so grateful. It was just a beautiful time. I had time off of work. Owen had some time off of work. We did have some family. His family came and saw. We didn't have a name yet. I'm saying his name now, but he wasn't named for a few weeks. We tend to take time to name our babies. So, in hindsight, I think I would have preferred it just be us for a few days or at least a day. But at the time, I was excited for them to meet their grandbaby, and they were lovely. It wasn't anything that they did, but just a boundary that I didn't place for myself at that time. So then there he was, this beautiful little brown-haired baby. We called him Baby Bear, and we discussed different names for him for weeks, like I said, and in the end settled on the name Odin. I'm Scandinavian, in heritage, and Odin felt like a good name, although it is quite close to Owen, and my husband's Owen, and his parents spelled his name is normally Owen, and they spelled it with a Y. So then we did the same with Odin. So it's Ow or Odyn. And because we'd called him Little Bear for so long, we decided to make his middle name Bear. And we call him, sometimes we call him just Bear now, and Bear Bear and Odie Bear. And he has all these beautiful names. But And we did consider like names that meant bear, like Bjorn and Oberon and some other names, but that is the name that we eventually settled on, even though many people were frustrated that we didn't name him right away. I think it's so odd what other people can get their panties in a bunch about something that we or you or I are choosing for our own lives. And then I guess to close, or I just want to share a little bit about, for me, my experience, because some people ask about this. I was leading a grief call in the Free Birth Society a few weeks ago, and this is a question that has come up a bit of women asking also, like, what is mothering like after you have experienced a death like this? And of course, the experience is unique to everyone. But for me, I definitely feel like my anxiety was higher. I had more fear of just, the knowing that life is precious and each day isn't guaranteed to anybody. I had found a beautiful counselor that I had seen about my grief, and her little son, died at 2 years old in his sleep for unknown reasons. So I just I just continued to, I worried about it, but then also I tried to balance like knowing the worries and that nothing can be guaranteed, and also just cherishing this gem of a little baby and holding him close. I held him so much in that time, just smelled his little head and cherished him. And we do intuitive toileting with our babies. Some people call it elimination communication, where we offer our babies the opportunity to pee and poop to eliminate in places like a little potty or the sink, places other than their diapers. So we did that with him. And I continued to, communicate with other women who were experiencing, who were mothering babies after having a baby die. But I think there are some, there's some shadow sides to that too. Like, those sleepless times, because there were, all those months and times when I yearned to be awakened by a baby's cry in the night, and to be needing to be awake and to mother the baby. And yet there I was in the exhaustion of that sleeplessness and being so grateful, like, yes, having that gratitude, but also feeling like I couldn't, or it almost felt wrong to verbalize like any challenge in mothering, because I knew and still know women who want a baby, want that living baby, and they don't have it. And here I am with a living baby. So that just feels important to put out there, to share that part of my experience, and know that it is normal to have those, it is okay to be challenged and feel that. And I remember there were moments, where he was really asleep and like maybe I kissed his head and it felt a little cool. And then I'd be like, are you alive? And he was. But those were some of the challenges that I went through. And I did find my people to express those, moments where I was having a hard time, knowing that it was a safe space and that they understood me and that they knew that that didn't mean that I didn't want that baby just because I was, so tired in that moment. But yeah, now he is seven, a beautiful young boy. He's definitely, growing into this beautiful being, and I'm so grateful for him. So grateful for my little sunshine and to be his mama. And yeah, that's Odin Bear's birth story as told today. I hope that you enjoyed it. I would love to know if you have any questions of things I might not have included. What else would you like to know? And yeah, as we move towards the spring equinox, I thought I would share this little passage from. I received two beautiful, well, I received more than two beautiful birthday presents, but I turned 41 this year and I received this beautiful planner from my sister-in-law, Wee Moon, Gaia Rhythms for Women. All the art and poetry are from women, and it has, follows the moon and astrology and all of that. So, yes, March 19th this year is the spring equinox. It's also my best friend, my soul sister, Ashley, her 40th birthday. So exciting. So yeah, as we move towards that, I'm gonna read this little passage on the spring equinox. Nature does not need to be told to do anything. It is just born again, instinctively, in community. Spring is the alchemy of sacred secrets and earth mysteries combined with decisiveness and courage. Take a moment to notice sources of life and pops of color around you. What plantcestors are blooming in the spaces that have meaningful connections for you. In preparation for our literal plant and dream seeds, this is a juncture where our foods change most radically. Consider designing a safe, gentle, simple cleanse for your constitution to give your body the spaciousness to release, reset, and be nourished. This is a time for freedom and resilience in our bodies, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, political. Schedule pockets of time to visualize and create. There is plenty of time to set intentions and make adjustments to the path. This is the time to practice consistency and create sustained momentum and growth. This is another chance to nurture and actualize our dreams from our heart's deepest desires. I hope you all are having a beautiful March. And yeah, I'll talk to you again on the next moon, on the next full moon. And if you would like to know more about me and the work that I do in the world, you can go to my website, birthingnova.love. I offer supportive services to women to claim their wild or in the seasons of pregnancy, birthing, and mothering. I also have do intuitive mediumship readings. And if you're curious about Mother Circle, sign up to be on the list to know when I'm going to be offering another round of Mother Circle. Thank you so much for listening. It would also be so cherished if you would rate, review, or share the show. Those really help other people to find out about the heart of the soul. And yeah, lots and lots of love. Talk to you soon. Mwah.